forged from greatness and an iconoclastic passion comes Rodman by Aloha Sun. This impressive 20,000 puffs disposable vape, inspired and endorsed by Dennis Rodman himself, features a slick dual texture design for a better grip, a chewy rubber mouthpiece for easier mouth to device contact, and a USB-C fast charging plus an efficient LED indicator so you can keep score of battery and juice levels. Easily adjust airflow using the switch at the base of the device, and you're all set to take the world on like a champ. Available in 14 unique flavors with bestsellers like Waterman, Blue Raz, and Cool Mint, and a one-of-a-kind flavors like Asahi Berry and Strawberry Ropes, Rodman delivers both quality and quantity. Now also available in nicotine pouches like Zyn, but tastier. Go to Rodman9K.com to get your head in the game with Rodman 20K. Disposables and nicotine pouches. As a special deal for our listeners, Rodman by Aloha Sun is offering 20% off your first purchase with the code DRINKBRO. Again, that's 20% off with the code DRINKBRO.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. And we've actually got some good shit to talk about this week because the Braves have been playing well.
We'll see today.
We'll talk about the upcoming Yankee series in a minute because I think it's about as big of a deal as you can have in June. But first, not really Braves news, but I kind of want to get into this because we brought him up the other day a little bit. But Willie Mays died.
Yep, he knew.
He knew that we talked about him?
No, he knew he was going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Because like 2 days prior, he said, "I can't make it to the thing." And he's like, "Oh, why not? Dead."
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's a good response.
He did leave, I think, Dusty Baker like a last message or whatever. Like he sent him like a message that was like, "Hey, say this or whatever." So I think like, yeah, they were like, because he lived in not hospice care, but like in an old folks home.
Yeah.
And kind of knew he was dying. But Willie Mays is dead. And, we talk about in basketball and football in particular, because the GOAT debate is, like, hilariously settled in hockey, right? Like, it's not even
funny. I would say in football for a quarterback, I don't think there's any question either, right? Does anybody still not believe that Brady's the GOAT right now? I mean, people think that Mahomes will become the GOAT, fair enough, but
yes,
as far as right now.
It's settled for now, but I guess there is an immediate threat to it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like Mahomes already has fucking 3 Super Bowls and not slowing down, and has been, even though Brady's statistics are off the chart, Mahomes has been like statistically better than Brady on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah,
from the beginning of his career to now.
Yeah, but if he gets to 7 rings, which is, I mean, possible, he's 28 years old. His counting stats are going to blow Brady's out of the water by that point.
Yeah, one would think. I mean, and Brady, look, like, he leads in everything, right? Touchdowns, yards, which is partly longevity, but that's
an insane
thing in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like, that's impressive. People don't give enough credit to longevity. Mm-hmm. Like, truly, like, that's a fucking skill. Like we're going to talk about him in a second, but, like, Mickey Mantle could have really used some longevity. He might be, you know, considered the greatest player of all time if he didn't get hurt and enjoy, you know, drinking a seltzer. We should actually get, like, a Mickey Mantle hologram to pitch Hard A.
I know. Well, I mean... I feel like there should be a bell curve for Mickey.
Yeah.
But then you would have to do it for Babe Ruth as well. Because I don't know if you knew this, but Babe Ruth liked to eat and drink as well.
Quite a bit.
All the stats he put up were like pretty impressive. And he did play until he was 40 years old.
Who, Ruth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also his first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the majors were as a part-time hitter.
Yeah, he missed 5 years of hitting.
Yeah, I mean, he hit a little bit. He averaged, I think, like 200 at-bats a year those first couple years.
Well, pitchers hit in the American League back then.
Yeah.
So it was not like a huge deal or whatever.
This guy is walking drinking White Claws?
Yeah, through the back.
You know, we got free brute booze in here. Oh, it's Michelob Ultra. My bad. Well, there's free booze up here if you want some.
Somehow.
In the refrigerator.
Somehow worse, actually.
No, at least it's beer.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but it's you could grade on a curve for him, but Mickey Mantle, I think, or Mickey Mantle, I'm sorry. I think if you take all the everything into account, like the five tool player guys, the longevity, the health, no scandal, sportsmanship. I don't think there's any question that Mays is the best of all time, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, nobody else is as good at every single one of those things. So he's the second best center fielder defensively ever to Andrew Jones.
Yeah.
And it's not particularly close. If you look at the analytics, it's not particularly close. Andrew Jones is by far the best ever. But Mickey's the second best.
Yeah.
And nobody else is even close to him, right? Willie is. Then he played in 20-plus seasons.
And by the way, Willie Mays, for some portion of his career, his home center field games...
was Polo Ground.
The fucking Polo Ground.
Yeah, which is like 450 to dead center.
Yeah.
Where he played. Yeah. Which is like, all right, cool, man.
Like, the amount of ground you have to fucking cover out there is insane.
Yeah. And then you take into account that he missed about two seasons mid-career.
In his prime.
Where he would have hit somewhere between 70 and 80 home runs if he had just his average season.
Yeah.
Maybe more, maybe less, who knows. But probably around 70 to 80. So we're talking about 730 home runs instead of 660. 730 to 740. Stole bases, played great center field, had a hose. He did all the things great. Like, every single thing you can do in baseball, he did great and had longevity on top of it. There's nobody that's been like him.
He did everything. And it's kind of weird, though. Like, he's a little bit overlooked, which is weird because I think
he didn't hold any of the records.
He doesn't hold any of the records.
Yep.
But he is easily, I think, the best baseball player of all time. Because so running down the list, I'm just going to run through who I think the inner circle guys are. Because they're sort of a tight little like 10 to 12 guy list of the greatest baseball player hitters of all time. And then everyone else is kind of beneath that.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Stan Musial, Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron. I think Albert Pujols deserves to be on that list.
I agree, yeah.
And Willie Mays. Yep. And then, if you want to add two steroids guys, Bonds and A-Rod on that
list.
Yeah,
I mean, look, to be fair, everybody was on the juice, and only a couple of guys did what... Nobody did what Barry Bonds did.
Right.
He walked 232 times in one season.
I mean, honestly, there's only four people in history that have done what A-Rod did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, 696 home run. So there are only three people in history that have done probably A-Rod's most impressive thing, and the other two are Bonds and Mays, which is 500 home runs, 300 stolen bases.
Yeah, and DiMaggio a little bit on the back end of his career, but he was hurt, so that's not when he put up his numbers. But Cobb, Ruth, Gehrig, DiMaggio, Musial, and even Ted Williams to some degree played in what I consider to be an unserious time in baseball, right? Okay. Now, I think that you put those guys in modern baseball, they'll figure it out because they were great athletes, right? But that does, in my brain, ding them a little bit. Ted Williams, and some of these guys were one-dimensional. Babe Ruth hit home runs.
Yes.
I mean, he hit for average as well.
And he pitched, but...
Yeah, but he like only for the first four seasons, right?
Right.
DiMaggio was a great right fielder for a time until he fucked his knee up, right?
Right.
And then... that was the end of that.
The only person who compares on this list defensively with Mays is Mantle.
Yeah, Mantle. Stan Musial was pretty good defensively as well, but he's an infielder, so you can't it's not comparable.
He wasn't at a premium position, so
Hank Aaron wasn't a great fielder. Earlier in his career, he was. He had a hose. He had a hose.
But he was sort of a standard left fielder.
Left fielder, yeah. He was a left fielder. Same with Bonds. A-Rod was a pretty good defender.
A-Rod was a great defender early in his career, but he moved out of a premium position, right?
Yeah.
So
Pujols was never... He was a really good first baseman, but I wouldn't have called him a great fielder or something like that.
He won a Gold Glove or two. And so Pujols, he did not start out as a great defender. In fact, he did not even start out as a first baseman.
He was a third baseman for a while, yeah.
He
played left field.
Left field. Yeah. They eventually settled on first base.
It was a mess in left field.
Yeah, to save his legs, too, you know. And he actually grew into an incredible defender. But again, it's a defender at first base. It's not a premium position. It's shortstop, center field, catcher, right field, pretty much. Those are the big four.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe third base, I guess, after that. I mean, obviously... probably a top five all-time defender in baseball is at third base with Brooks Robinson.
Yeah. Brooks Robinson, Craig Nettles, probably, if you wanted to, it, just defensively, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He couldn't hit a fucking, he couldn't hit the ground if you fell out of a fucking plane, you know what I mean? But yeah, on like, if you take it everything into totality, Mays did what Aaron and Mantle did. They played in a pre-war and post, well, I guess Mantle didn't, but they, the other two guys played in a kind of a pre-war and post-war situation.
Mays was only after World War II.
Yeah, not World War II, but Mays played in the Negro Leagues for a little bit, right?
For like a year,
and
yeah.
So did Aaron. I think he played for 2 years with the Missouri team. I think it was the Missouri. Maybe it was the Mississippi team, actually.
It might have been. I don't know.
He's from Mississippi, yeah. I think. Anyways, they played some unserious ball and some serious ball. Very little unserious. And then they played into the era where it was legit. Like, say, like there were pitchers back in the day. Don't get me wrong. Vandermeer was a great pitcher. Walter Johnson was a great pitcher, although he was post-war as well. Like, most of his career was post-war. There were some legit dudes back then, but not like the onslaught of the 60s and 70s with people like fucking Bob Gibson, Nolan Ryan. You kidding me? Yeah. Like Sandy Koufax, Tom Seaver.
Actually, you know who Willie Mays' first ever home run was off of?
It wasn't Nolan.
It's a Hall of Famer.
Koufax would make sense.
It is an Atlanta, not Atlanta Brave. I guess a Milwaukee Brave. Warren Spahn.
Warren Spahn. Shit. He is old. Spahn retired, what, in 56 or something?
I do not know off the top of my head. I'll check that out.
But yeah, he won 300 games. Will Clark's first home run was off Nolan Ryan. His first hit, actually his first at bat in the major leagues, he had a home run off Nolan Ryan.
Spahn was right in the... actually, it was still the Boston Braves in 51 when Mays hit it. Mm. But Spahn played till 65. So
65, damn, that's longer than I thought.
Spahn was in his prime.
Yeah. At any rate, yeah, nobody had all the stuff that Mays had playing center field and did it for that long. I mean, it's not even close, to be honest.
I think it's a pretty – and he is third all-time in wins above replacement behind Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds. But, I mean, it's just – this is like –
But he did it in the serious era of baseball without the juice.
Yeah.
Right? He's the best baseball player ever.
And unlike Ruth played, well, you said serious era, right? But played defense. I mean, even if Ruth put up all those same numbers at the same time as Willie Mays,
yeah.
I just, the defense alone, he's within the top, what, five best defensive players of all time? Top 10 maybe?
If you take into account the position he played, yeah, probably. I mean, if you look down defensive runs saved and defensive wins above replacement, you're mostly going to see shortstops, right?
For sure.
Just because that's the position that gets the most plays at the most premium position.
Ozzie Smith is number one in defensive WAR of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I mean, it's a
short. The first outfielder that shows up on the list is Andrew Jones, and the second is Willie Mays.
Right.
So
I mean, it's. And even with defense, I think you need to give longevity to it because I'm sure there was 5 years where Juan Pierre was an animal in center field. You know what I mean? Like
sure,
tracking down everything. Mm-hmm. But like it really is. It's like Andrew Jones, Willie Mays, Ozzie Smith, Brooks Robinson, Yadier Molina. That's end of list, basically. I guess we can put Omar Vizquel on there, but...
let's see. Here's,
he kind of wasn't that good.
Here's what the Bleacher Report had in 2008. The all-time gold glove team. First base was Keith Hernandez.
Yes, I agree with that.
And he was probably the best I ever saw. Second base, Bill Mazeroski.
Sure.
He hit the shot heard around the world. I don't know. I don't know what his defensive stats look like. I mean, on the honorable mention list is Roberto Alomar. He's the best I ever saw at second base. He had a shortstop arm, and he played second base.
My gut tells me it's probably Alomar at second, but...
No. Shortstop is obviously Ozzie Smith. Nobody has ever been anywhere as... like, if you take into consideration the very limited amount of throwing errors, right?
Right.
And he had Hernandez at first base in St. Louis for a little while, too. I'm sure that didn't hurt.
Right.
But then he had Pedro Alvarez for some time at first as well, and that didn't help, I would think, right? Because he was a tall guy, but he was a fucking mongoloid.
Well,
so
one thing to remember with Ozzie Smith, too, is he was playing on AstroTurf.
He was playing on AstroTurf, and he got two balls that nobody else got to.
Yeah.
There's honorable mentions. Like, Ray Ordonez had a short version, like in New York with the Mets.
I mean, so
Ray Ordonez made plays I've only seen On a regular basis, I've only seen Ozzie Smith make, but he did it for like 6 years. I'm like, right. All right, come on, man. Brooks Robinson at third, there's no question about that. In left field, they've got Carlos Yastrzemski.
Sure.
I don't know enough about that, to be honest. Dusty Baker won a bunch of gold gloves in left field as well.
Yeah.
And he was pretty exceptional, but who knows. Center field is Willie. Honorable mention, Griffey Jr., Andrew Jones, Andre Dawson. They have Jen Edmonds, but if you take range factor into consideration,
get him out of
there. He's not even in the top 20.
He's a human highlight reel, but he has to dive for that. We've said it before a million times. Andrew, Willie, Griffey before he got fat, they get to all everything Edmonds is diving for standing up.
Yeah. Right field, they've got Roberto Clemente. I think that's still true.
I think so, too.
We do have video of him making plays and making throws in that weird-shaped corner outfield in Pittsburgh all those years. I mean, he had a fucking hose.
His arm. Yeah. Fucking
Dwight Evans, too, was great out there. Dave Parker. Other mentions are Larry Walker, Tony Gwynn, Hank Aaron. And then it says maybe someday Jeff Francoeur. He just didn't have the bat to stick around long enough.
This was 3 years after Francoeur.
This is 2008. Yeah. And then catcher, they have Johnny Bench. But I think he was overtaken by Molina, frankly.
100%.
Bench had the best arm I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like he could stand. I used to be able to do this too, but I was a pitcher. He could stand a home plate and throw the ball over the left field fence, which is not only, usually it's only a pitcher that can do something like that. For defensively, pitchers, Greg Maddux, but you could have put, what's his name? They have right-handed and left-handed. Jim Cotts, the other one. He won 16 consecutive gold gloves, and then Maddux won like 18 consecutive
Maddux
gold gloves. So.
Do you know the story about Maddux and Jim Cott, right?
Mm.
Maddux beat his gold glove record for the position, and then Cott called him and was like, I only got one record left now. And Maddux is like, what is that? And he's like, the oldest player to steal a base. And Maddux went out like 2 days later and stole a base and called him and was like, I took that from you too.
That sounds like him, yeah.
The fucking troll. That
sounds like him.
He's so fucking funny. But yeah, I think, so what my point at the beginning was, hockey, comically settled.
Mm.
Football, settled for now. And look, Mahomes is on a nice track, but like asking him to get double the amount of rings he already has is fucking crazy. And so I won't believe it till I see it. Basketball, I think, you know, Jordan, it's hard to debate that, even though I think LeBron James is the best athlete to ever play any
sport. He's the best player, but you can even make the argument that let's see, Elway or Stitt or Favre or Marino are better quarterbacks than Brady.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good argument to make.
You could say that was the argument people made for Peyton Manning versus Brady.
Or even Peyton Manning, frankly. Yeah. And I think they're all better quarterbacks than Brady was.
Right.
Right. But that's not what the game isn't to be the best quarterback. It's to win titles.
Right.
And Brady did it better than anybody else, and Jordan did it better than anybody else. This is the way it is.
Yeah. Hard to disagree. I think the only person who has more than Jordan is Russell, and he also played in an unseries.
Yeah, come on, man. Bill Russell doesn't count. Right, he seems like a nice guy and all, but fuck off.
But with baseball, it's, you know, A, with baseball, championships don't matter as much because you have so much less control over it. Certainly less than a quarterback or one of five guys on the floor in the NBA. And secondly, it's just weird how overlooked he gets, because it wasn't like, he's not like Mike Trout. Like, Willie Mays had a great personality. He was a star in his time. I caught a clip of him on Bewitched the other day. But like, Ruth basically invented the modern game, right? And then you've got guys later on, and Aaron owns the sacred record. And then you've got guys people romanticize about, like Mantle. And then you've got other quiet ones that people... And then Williams is the sort of what could have been if he didn't spend half his fucking career in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Mutual and Gehrig are sort of the... And even Aaron, to an extent, are sort of the quiet excellence, and Pujols too recent to care about. And then Bonds and A-Rod have a stink on them. I actually think the best candidate, if we didn't know they were on steroids, to... Well, it'd be Bonds. But I think A-Rod is a very underrated top... probably five guy with everything.
Yeah.
He was a five tool guy as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's got that stink on him.
For sure.
I think for my money, if I was starting a team, all things being equal, and I had to select a third baseman, I would probably take Adrian Beltre, because he had the glove of Robinson and the bat of all these other guys we talked about. He's probably the best third baseman. In my opinion, I think he's the best third baseman of all time.
And, like, what, like zero IL stints?
No, he didn't miss any games until he was, like, 38 years old. And
really, the only thing
he loved playing baseball. He's a great clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ask for more than Adrian Beltre gave you.
The only thing he did wrong was go to the Mariners.
Yeah, that was a mistake, but he did good things in Texas. And by the way, and the way I see it, I know baseball's changed now, so I don't know if this is going to be the same thing going forward. But when I think about, like, the best baseball players, five tool, whatever, like the best of all time, I think about guys who have more RBI than strikeouts or somewhere close.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody that puts the ball in play, hits for good average, and still hits a lot of home runs. And Beltre struck out 1,732 times. He had 1,707 RBI. That, to me, is a great baseball player. That's the difference between a really good one and a great one. Now, Bonds obviously had some help, but 1,996 home or RBI, 1,539 strikeouts. Willie Mays, 1,526 strikeouts, 1,909.
Yeah.
RBI, like, when I think about the top 5 or 10 hitters of all time, if they're not close, those two numbers aren't close, that's not even in my fucking book, to be honest. I don't know what, actually, let me look and see what A-Rod's were.
I'm sure it's close. I gotta think A-Rod's got more RBI than strikeouts.
He's probably, well, we'll see. Adrian Beltre never struck out 100 times after his 28th birthday. So for the next, like, 12 years, he averaged like 30 home runs a year, 25, 30 home runs a year, and never struck out 100 times. A-Rod, let's see. A-Rod had 2,287 strikeouts and 2,086 RBI. So he was closer than a lot of guys. Like, if you look at guys pre-war, you'll see that a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about post-war. Ted Williams didn't strike out.
Right. Right. Oh, pre-war. Ty Cobb's numbers are comical, right? He struck out 357 times, although they didn't even start counting strikeouts until 1913, it appears. But even still, you could probably only add an extra, like, 100 to his total. And he has 1,937 RBI.
I think there's only... I'd have to look at this, because I'm not entirely sure. But in the post-war era, I think only one guy has 500 home runs and never struck out more than 100 times in a season. It was Albert Pujols. I don't think anybody else did that.
He might have ruined that late in his career.
No, he never did. I'm looking at it right now. No, he never struck out 100 times.
Playing enough. But yeah, I mean, he was
like his career high in strikeouts was 93, and he did it when he was 21, and when he was 37. So two seasons. He never had more than 76 in any other season.
That's insane.
It is wild as hell.
That's nuts.
So he had 2,218 RBI, 1,404 strikeouts. That's why I think he's the best hitter ever.
I tend to agree with that, just having watched him. And yeah, he was absolutely nuts. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because, I mean, to me, and I've said this before with friends talking about baseball or whatever, it's like, it just feels like I don't understand how anyone tops Willie Mays. I don't think that there has been a better all-around baseball player. There is one candidate who could surpass him, which is Shohei Ohtani.
Yep.
But we'll see what he does. And fortunately for Ohtani, he got here young enough, right? It's not like Ichiro who got here at 28 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if Ichiro had started at 18, 19, 20 in the U.S., one, he would have broken Rose's hit record.
Yeah.
But two, he would be in the conversation for the best right fielders of all time.
Yes.
And I think he probably would be the best right fielder of all time.
Was he not even on that list?
He was honorable mention. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, he didn't play in the league long enough, I don't think. Like, Roberto Clemente played 20 years, 20, 21 years, yeah. I think. And he did it every fucking year. He had a hose the whole time.
Yeah. But yeah, I think for whatever reason, it's just interesting. Maybe it's because baseball has a lot more history than the other sports, but he really does get lost in this shuffle of, like, really, there's like 10 inner circle guys, and then five of those guys are kind of all fighting for number one. And Mays is just kind of quietly left standing there being like, hey, I played good defense. None of these other guys played good defense. And to me, it's Willie. If you're counting everything, if you're counting five tools, it's got to be Willie. Anyway, let's get on to the Braves. We're fucking back. We're back. We are so fucking back.
Yeah.
We've won six of the last seven. We're now only seven games out of first place behind the cowardly Phillies, who couldn't close out the division when we were playing like shit. Sad. A sad franchise. And we got the Yankees this weekend. As far as regular season's series go, especially in June, mm-hmm. this is a pretty big fucking series.
It's a big one because we're on a roll. They've been on a pretty good roll until shit.
They got blown out yesterday.
Yeah, but they, I mean, that was a good series. That shit's going to happen sometimes. But we've got Sale, Rodon, Morton, Stroman, Fried, Cortez. I mean, you can't ask for a better series than that.
No. I'm going to be glued to my TV for all three of these games. And it's a big series. I say that because you just want to – the Phillies catch the Diamondbacks, who are, I think, cooked this year as far as
– they don't look great, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but the Phillies are so banged up. Like, this is – right now they're going to go through what we did in May and June. And it'll probably even out. We'll probably, by the end of by the All-Star break, I'm guessing we're going to be three games behind, something like that, if they can keep their shit together. It's still a good team, but they're banged up really badly right now.
Yeah. But no, I'm excited for this series. The pitching matchups, like you said, are incredible. But talking about the Braves, so I just tracked them from June 9th on, kind of, when they started playing a little better, even though it's really only been in the last week. From June 9th to today, here are some Braves WRC pluses. This is most of the starters. Mm. Riley, 188. Olsen, 176. Kelnick, 145. Murphy, 136.
By the way, Kelnick in that leadoff spot, not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems like he fucking likes that.
Yeah. He seems to be doing really well there. Yeah.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, no shit. Ozuna, 149, and even Michael Harris, 129. He's on the IL right now, but Michael Harris, 129. Four players in our lineup have a hard hit percentage over 50%. So over 50% of the time that they hit the ball, it's at 95 miles an hour or harder, which is nice if you know, 45% of your lineup is doing that, 43% of your lineup is doing that. Six regulars have an OPS over 800. You know, there's hot streaks and there's cold streaks, but we've been complaining all year that aside from Ozuna, the offense never really clicked. Does it seem like we're clicking now?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the you could look down into the deeper analytics and see things like whiff rate is down, and chase rate is down, right? Those are good things to notice. Murphy has never got a chance to get started so far this year. Yep. He's started now.
He hit a bomb the other day.
He had two bombs the other day. But I mean, one of them was a fucking shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Arcia has regressed a lot, but he's a hot hitter. So we'll see if he doesn't turn it around soon. I'm not convinced they're not going to bring up Nacho Alvarez from AAA. He's risen through the ranks pretty quickly this year. Laureano's doing okay and right, but we're banged up too. But yeah, I mean, Kelnick and Kelnick, Albies, Ozuna, Olsen, Riley are doing well. Murphy's doing well.
Albies with a nice game-winning home run, the other bomb in his own right over the chop house.
Yep.
So Albies' numbers have actually not been great the last 2 weeks, but I mean, you know, I'll take a game-winning home run from him.
Yeah.
He's still a guy I want up there.
Duvall and Arcia and whomever we put in right field. They got to get their shit together. Now, when Harris comes back, they think he's going to be back early to mid-July. It depends on how it progresses. They may keep him out until after the All-Star break, because why not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just give him extra time. And then get, like, a fresh start on the second half of the season. In which case, Kelnick's going to right, and then you just have to platoon left again, which is kind of something we had to do anyways. But I think we're probably going to make a move. I would guess we're going to make a move for a left fielder and another starter.
We'll talk about the starter in a minute because I sent you. We'll get to that. But yeah, left fielder wise, my assumption is, as much as I'm like, yeah, dude, bring fucking Jock Peterson, put him in left. I don't care about the defense, whatever.
Yeah.
The only thing that sucks about that is he's a platoon guy. He does not play against lefties. Arizona doesn't do it. They didn't do it in San Francisco. They didn't even do it with him in Atlanta when he was here. You know, they were swapping in and out with, I forget who the, with Duvall, I think, actually. So.
Yeah, but don't tell Jock that, because in 23, he hit just as good off lefties, I believe. Oh, no, not 23. It was 22. He hit just as good off lefties. I think it was his first year in San Francisco after he left us.
Yeah. Which just I don't know. Good. I don't know why they're platooning him in Arizona, but they are.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know who the other guy is. He's DHing, by the way, so it's easy to. A lot easier to platoon that without losing anything. And they have Kettle Marte there, who's he plays some infield and he DHs some. He has hit 15 home runs this year. I don't know if they're using, like, on right or on lefty pitching days, if they're just slotting, giving their one of their fielders a day off from the field, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Arizona sucks this year, though. They Jordan Montgomery's got a 6 ERA.
It seems like they kind of just had a little random run there, and they're kind of back to.
But who, you know, who doesn't have? So of all the pitchers, we'll get to this later, but Schwellenbach looks good.
He has looked good. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, as far as addressing left field, I mean, there's a lot of things they can do. I don't think there's anybody in the minor leagues that could be helpful there, but Duvall's not good enough to play for a championship team.
He can still play defense, but...
Yeah, Laureano, I mean, keep him around for a pinch hitter against lefties. He hits pretty well against lefties. Laureano's gotten hot for a couple of games, but I'm not... I don't count on that being the case. You know, he's had some flashes during his career, but it's been extremely inconsistent. I think they need to go out and get a fucking left fielder.
And I think they probably need an everyday dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's just they're, because they already have to platoon right field, right? I think Kelnick and Duvall are going to be the right field platoon moving forward once Harris is back, because they're better defenders. So we're essentially looking for a left field. I mean, I guess if there's a right fielder we can get, they'll probably take either corner outfielder, right?
Sure. Like,
they'll just put Kelnick and Duvall wherever the other guy doesn't need to go. But yeah, it's the outfield situation is still untenable. But thankfully, we've got five guys in the lineup now, absolutely raking. Even with Harris out, the defense is still good. It was nice to see, look through those numbers and be like, oh, they're actually putting fucking wood on the ball, and we're actually fucking scoring runs. They played a great series against the Tigers. The bullpen still looks good. I mean, we were one. I guess. Not really a blown save, but Iglesias, I guess, just gave up two runs in the ninth or whatever, away from a 7-game win streak. Like, it's been a fucking good run so far. I'm feeling pretty optimistic about them moving forward. They're still within striking distance of the division. I still selfishly want the division, even though I know it's gonna fuck us over probably. But it is what it is. But yeah, the Braves bats finally hot. Before we keep going, though, I'm going to talk about our sponsor, and that is MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.com. Use the promo code Drinkin' Bros to double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. If you only got $100 to spare, they'll give you $100. They'll match that $100 that you put in. Whatever it is, use the promo code Drinkin' Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. You can bet on baseball, which we will talk about in a little bit. You can play in their live casino like me and Dan do every Friday, which, by the way, is a real casino. It is a human being on camera dealing physical cards. It's not some sketchy computer game, some sketchy sort of like arcade blackjack or something like that. It is a real live human being. And just to show you how real it is, tune in to this week's show. There's like a 5-minute break. Again, this is the second time this happened to us, where the guy just has to stop because they have to vacuum under his table. So either they are really committed to stealing your money, or more likely it's just real actual casino somewhere on an island that is dealing real cards. And you can just skip through the vacuum. And when you watch like 10 seconds of the vacuuming to know it's real, then you can skip to the end. But mybookie.com, promo code Drinkin' Bros, double your first deposit up to $1,000. College football's kind of anything you can imagine betting on, you can bet on. And in fact, I believe on this week's coming fake news, like the next Thursday, whatever you want to call it, the debate is June 27th, the first debate between Biden and Trump, and there's a shit ton of props on MyBookie for the debate.
Yeah, we'll be going through all those.
So we'll go through all of those, give you our predictions and picks like that. But yeah, you can bet props for even the debate. Like, seriously, you can bet on fucking anything on MyBookie. Check it out today, MyBookie.com. Promo code DrinkingBros will double your first deposit up to $1,000. Next up, speaking of trades, the Braves need to make. I need a man in my five hole, and I want it to be this man.
Which man?
Jack Flaherty.
Okay.
I sent you a tweet the other day. Tigers beat writer Evan Petzold said that, quote, Jack Flaherty is definitely going to be on the move. That's happening. That strikes me as an insane thing for the Tigers to do, because the Tigers feel like a year away. They feel close. We even talked about this. I was like, I hope the Tigers sell, but I don't think they're going to sell because of how close to being very good they are, especially in a mediocre division between Tarik Skubal, Jack Flaherty. They have another really good starter,
Maeda,
as well, who I'm blanking on.
Maeda. Kent Maeda is over there.
Yeah. I mean, they've got...
Here's the problem with Flaherty, though. Are they going to have cap space to re-sign him, and do they think they have somebody in the minors who's going to be able to come up and be commensurate? Because he's making $14 million this year, and he is an unrestricted free agent after this season.
Yes.
He's on a one-year deal, which means he's definitely leaving.
Yes.
Like, I don't think the Tigers have the cash right now to spend on him. What they probably want to do is flip him for some picks, Baltimore it for another year, and then go out on the free agent market and find a couple of pitchers to come in. That would be my guess. Because they're not ready just yet, as you said. We'll see. Skubal's not going anywhere.
No, nor should he. I mean, it'd be insane to do that.
But the Braves trading for Jack Flaherty and signing him to a five-year deal would be a really good idea.
And by the way, so here's my thing I love about Flaherty. I'm going to run through some numbers here. One, he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the prime of his career. Two, like you said, he's only on a $14 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's having the best year of his career, but he's only had – he has a ton of promise. He was the Cardinals' like number one pitching prospect,
mm-hmm.
and then as that – organization started to fall apart a little bit. He kind of, the wheels came off of him a little bit. There were injuries and stuff like that. But he was, in 2019, he was a fucking animal. If you remember, him and Soroka had that duel in the NLDS. The Braves won the game, I think, but it was late. Neither of them got the win or the loss, I think.
Yeah, he struck out 231 and 196 that year, and 182 and 150. And this year he's striking out 100 so far in 72 innings. Like, he's on one of those with a 0.95 whip. He's on one of those years. I don't see – so AA doesn't do rentals very much.
No.
So he brought three players over during the 21 season. Rosario we kept. Peterson we let go because he was – he can't hit against lefties, so there's nowhere to put him, right?
Yeah.
And they knew they were going to have to move Ozuna to DH.
Mm-hmm.
And that Acuna was coming back, right?
Yeah.
So there's no room for him. And who was the third guy they brought over?
So they brought over Soler, Duval.
Jorge Soler. They let Soler go because he was going to cost too much.
Yeah.
But typically speaking, when they make a trade, and this has been true of Murphy, Olsen, they kept Rosario around because he was under contract. Typically what they do is bring a guy over and then sign him to more years, mm-hmm. right? I think that's the plan for Flaherty, probably,
if
I would
we can
guess.
Because my point in all this is that he'll probably be fairly reasonably priced for age and talent.
You mean money-wise to re-sign,
yes.
or to get him in the trade?
Both, but certainly more so on the contract side of
sure.
things. Because the talent is all fucking there, right? The strikeouts... He's, I think, in the top five in K per nine. He's striking out basically 12 per nine. His ERA is 3.01. His expected ERA is 2.66. And his expected fielding independent pitching is fucking 2.17. Like, he's pitching out of his mind. His batting average on balls in play is league average, so he's not getting lucky or anything like that. He's only walking 3% of the batters he's facing. He has the best K-to-walk ratio in the league. But... So he's got all the numbers right now are, you know, make him seem expensive, but there is a track record issue that is going to knock some dollars off of a contract, which means this is like the type of value that Anthopoulos looks for.
Also, he doesn't have any years left on the contract, so they're not going to get like Nacho Alvarez or Perdomo or any of our real stars out of the minor leagues for this. Maybe they get like Darius Vines and another guy, yeah. something like that, which is, I mean, for to be honest, for the Tigers being a couple years away, a couple of guys like Darius Vines would be really good because that might be your 4 or 5 starter in your run 2 years from now, right? Yeah. So it makes sense. I think they'll probably go after him. In addition to Flaherty, Schwellenbach looks good. He had one bad game, and he gave up 6 runs, but it was against in the first game he was a little bit wild in the strike zone and gave up a 3-run homer against the Nationals and Boston. He didn't look great, but then against Baltimore and Detroit he looked really great. Not great. He looked really good in those 2 games. 2 much better teams.
Yeah.
So it's not that he can't perform at the major league level. It's just he's figuring it out still. His whip's still 120, which for a starting pitcher is not terrible, right?
Oh, it's, you totally take it, especially in the back end of your rotation. If your fifth starter has a 120 whip, you're a really good team.
Yeah, he's just walking too many guys right now. He'll figure it out. I think he's bouncing in between. The first game, he was wild in the strike zone. The last 3, he's kind of been – gone in some deep counts and walked some guys. But it's gotten better with each performance. I think he's going to be our fifth starter probably.
For the rest of the year, you think? You're not convinced they'd make a move for? Do you think?
I think they will make a move. I just don't think they have 5 quality starters right now.
Yeah. If you had to guess which, I think probably if they only make one move, it's probably an outfielder. That seems to be the more pressing issue. But I don't know. I
think they're going to do both. I think they're going to pick up an outfielder. They might get since Matzik's out, they may grab another lefty for the bullpen. I think they're going to get a starting pitcher, a lefty for the bullpen, and probably one or more outfielders.
Yeah.
I don't think there's not any impetus to do anything else, to be honest. And again, I think that if I had to bet, I think Nacho Alvarez probably gets a cup of coffee this year.
Yeah.
Even if it's just in September to see what he's all about.
Yeah.
Depending on how things are going pennant race-wise.
Because they called up, Forrest Wall, I think, as a utility guy in the meantime?
Shit, I don't remember. Yeah, something like that.
Some dude, some guy.
And then, Forrest Wall is coming up, and Daysbill Hernandez is coming back up for the bullpen. We'll see how it goes. I think Waldrop's probably going to end up getting Tommy John surgery, it looks like.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's his UCL that seems to be fucked up.
Wonderful.
And it's how it goes is you sprain your UCL or you have elbow soreness, and then 2 to 3 months later you tear the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to do that preemptive surgery like they did on Strider, where it's got a quicker recovery rate and
don't they like just attach it to your arm or something like
that?
They
like
brace or
bolt
something.
It down or some shit. I don't know. Yeah. So we'll see on him, but I don't expect him back anytime soon. And Noah's on the 60-day IL.
Now Anderson is coming back.
Yeah. Ian Anderson maybe comes back and contributes something. I think go out and get Flaherty. I don't see why you wouldn't do that.
If Flaherty is available, that is the best pitcher on the market.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I would probably put Anderson and Vines in a trade package for him. If I call, hey, let me talk to him. You want to sign for 5 years and play for the Braves and not the goddamn Tigers?
Right.
Okay, cool. Right?
Yeah.
And I make that trade right now and sign it for 5 years.
Yeah, would you like $50 million to compete for World Series for next? Or actually not 50, because that would
I would say probably 100.
Yeah.
Like 20 a year, I think, is appropriate because
50 be a pay cut.
Morton's going to leave after this year, and he's a 20-year guy, and that just you slot him in at 28 instead or 29 instead of fucking 40, right? That makes perfect sense.
Yep, Flaherty all day. That's what I want him to go after. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get him, holy shit, he's everything you want. He's had cups of coffee in the playoffs, and he's done well. My eyes bulged out of my head when I saw it because I was convinced that the Tigers were going to try to re-sign him or hold on to him.
The only reason I can think of that somebody from their press corps would say he's definitely on the move is because the Tigers offered him something and he said no, or they refused to offer him something. It's one of those two.
Yeah.
So
now I will say with Flaherty, the one thing, he was kind of prickly on his way out the door with the Cardinals.
But the Cardinals, I mean, that's their front office was everybody on the team liked the fucking nerd coach. Right?
Who now coaches the Padres.
Yeah. Everybody liked him. He was a good fucking coach. He took him to the playoffs with shut up, bitch, with a shittier team than they're used to having.
Yeah.
And the front office is like, you know what? I don't like the way your fucking pants look, so you got to go. And we're going to hire this 35-year-old that's never coached before that sucks at it. So I can understand being a little salty on the way out of that one.
That's fair. Let's get into our gambling picks for the week. Got some pretty good series to bet on, and specifically some good games depending on the pitching matchups. I'll go first. Obviously, we make all our bets at mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit up to $1,000. I think you heard that already. Couple good games that I like on this Friday. And if you're listening live, we're live, right? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're live. So if you're listening live, get this betting quick because the Cubs game starts in like 30 minutes. I like the Cubs over the Mets today. Imanaga's going for the Cubs at home. Come on, all day. I also like the Braves over the Yankees. They are just a hair over into plus money. I think they were like plus 102 when I locked it in. They are a dog for a reason. The Yankees are the best team in baseball, arguably, but the Braves are A, they're hot, and B, Chris Sale's going today. I like both of those things, and it's just it adds value to the parlay, so I will take that. However, keep your eyes open for a hedge there. Keep an eye on that game. That's obviously a gamble. Mariners over the Marlins. Love that. Kirby's going for the Mariners. I believe it's in Seattle. Let me double check. No, it's in Miami, but I don't really give a shit. I'll take Kirby and the Mariners over the Marlins. And then this one, a little sketchier, but I'll take the Orioles over the Astros. Rodriguez is going for Baltimore, 8-2, 320 ERA. Baltimore is fucking awesome. The Astros, still a little schizophrenic. And also, the Astros only playing 500 ball at home, and the Orioles, weirdly, amazing on the road, 24-11.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who those games have been against, but we'll see. I'm going Sunday. I'm not going to fuck with that Braves-Yankees game because Fried's been kind of up and down this year, to be honest, and he hasn't been making it super deep into games either. But Pirates over Rays, Skanes is going. Good fucking luck. And the Rays suck this year. I don't know what the odds on these are going to be because they don't come out until the day prior, usually, or the day of. So next one, the next three are all road teams. Mariners over the Marlins. Marlins suck. And Garrett has not been great this year.
You know what's funny about the NL East this year? The Nats, the third place team.
Yeah, it's weird, huh?
It's fucking. I would have definitely called the Marlins last, but the Mets being as bad, even as I knew they were going to be good, but like, god damn, dude.
Yeah, that's one of them actually. So Nats over Rockies.
Okay.
They've got Irvin going, who's been good for them this year. They are also playing the Rockies, who are just the worst team of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Orioles over Astros again. The Astros have are playing even at home. The Orioles are great on the road. Suarez going for Baltimore. He's a really good pitcher. Framber Valdez has been okay, right?
Been fine, yeah.
And then the last two, Phillies over Diamondbacks. I think that's a pretty easy one.
Yeah, especially with the matchup, the pitching matchup.
Yeah. And it's in Philly. And then Cubs over Mets. Finally, the Mets are terrible. The Cubs are also terrible, but I like Cassad for the Cubs. He's a good pitcher.
Yeah. There's some good games Saturday, too. I won't give you like an official parlay, but the odds probably aren't going to be amazing, but you have Wheeler going for the Phillies against the Diamondbacks. That's pretty sweet. And then the Astros and Orioles on Saturday, it's a gamble, but you might get good. You're going to get good value, I think. Burns versus Blanco. Blanco, who has pitched a no-hitter and then also was pulled during another no-hitter because he had a million pitches. A really good pitching matchup, but that'll lower. I like the Orioles to win the series, and so why not take them with Burns on the mound? And you'll get lower odds, essentially. And then, look, the Mariners every single fucking day against the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Glasnow is going against the Angels, the Dodgers against the Angels, as the late night game as well. I mean, there's some good shit to bet on, this weekend. So that's what I got. As I already dropped my picks in the, Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group, join it if you want to see all our picks for all our sports and stuff like that. Again, Cubs game starts in like 30 minutes. So if you want to take my Friday parlay, get the fuck on it because you'll lose that game otherwise. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.